Welcome to Episode 3 of Bibliotech, the podcast about emerging technologies for academics. This podcast is brought to you by University Affairs Magazine. My name is It's hard to keep up with all the new software, tools, and gadgets. That's where I come in. Courseware. Love it or hate it, we all have to use it. Faculty seem to be joining one of two camps. There are those who hate their current system because it's too one-dimensional. Where's the access to social media? How can I create more and engage my students? Then there are those who think their systems fulfill their needs just fine. I just want to upload my syllabus and my course readings, and that's it. Anything more is clutter. So where do we go from here? Listen in as I take a look at the current state of courseware on campus, and even offer up what my ideal courseware system of the future would look like.
Did you say I've got a lot to learn? Well, don't think I'm trying not to learn. Since this is the perfect spot to learn, teach me tonight.
Starting for many instructors and the vast majority of students in higher education, using courseware is a part of daily life. Courseware, otherwise known as learning management systems or course management systems, allow instructors to create course websites and share them with students. There are many of them out there, including Blackboard, Desire2Learn, Sakai, and Moodle. While there are certainly differences between the various systems and vendors, and some are better in certain ways than others, they all generally start from the same principle. Instructors need a website where students can download the syllabus and any PowerPoint slides or lecture notes the instructor wants to offer. No instructor should have to manage or maintain the enrollments for their courses. We have systems for that, so plugging the enrollment system into the course management system, linking up the students in the course to the course content, is another key role for courseware on campus. As a general rule, technology doesn't always make things easier, but if you've ever seen a first-year student try to keep track of 5 course websites at 5 entirely different web addresses and with 5 different logins, you'll agree that having a single system that serves it all from one place, with one password, is a huge help. Students don't have an office. They move from computer lab to loaner laptop, to personal laptop, to shared home computer. The information they need is rarely in one place all the time. Their mobility makes keeping track of information much more of a challenge. With a whole new world of things to learn and do, keeping track of this basic information is just one more brand new and stressful burden to bear. So for all the criticisms people launch at institutional courseware solutions, this one function, giving students a single place to find contact information, syllabi, and assignment details, is something it does very, very well. Credit where credit is due. Blackboard, Sakai, Desire2Learn, and Moodle definitely take some of the stress out of the student experience. But do they serve learning? I meet many faculty members who get frustrated with the limitations of courseware. They want to interact more, or make a course public, or invite in far-flung colleagues to interact with their students. Twitter, Facebook, WordPress, Blogger, YouTube, Google Docs, MediaWiki. A creative instructor who's familiar with the wide world of social media and Web 2.0 is likely to want to integrate all these products and tools into their rich, engaging course. I really love the enthusiasm and creativity of these instructors, whose dreams really fuel the future of teaching in higher education. Their frustrations and criticisms tend to demonstrate not just failings of courseware, but a growing disassociation from its basic intent. Courseware has generally been understood as a way to lead students toward what would have once been paper materials handed out in class. No need to worry about losing a syllabus or looking up an instructor's phone number or email address. It's right there on the website. But since the origins of courseware, the web has become a much richer place. We understand that there are such things as virtual learning environments, spaces where learning can be fostered, where collaboration between students can be encouraged and directed. What was once a digital pile of paper is now much more. We expect more from our systems. The creative among us don't just want a place to put the syllabus anymore. We take that as a given. But all courseware, even the greatest ones out there, are based on our most conservative of principles. If we were to write the story of the world according to courseware, it would look something like this. There is one ultimate authority, the benevolent ruler, the instructor. The instructor can see all and do all. Instructors can turn functionality on and off at will, arrange and organize content, control if and how participants interact with each other. The final arbiter of what a course in Blackboard or Sakai looks like is the instructor. They can make the entire course vanish on Friday and reappear on Monday. Participants are understood as passive observers, with some limited ability to express an opinion, but only where granted that ability. Interaction between students in courseware is highly regulated, monitored, and controlled by the instructor. It's a rarely acknowledged fact that students retain copyright of all written content they produce, as part of course requirements or otherwise. And yet, courseware of all brands and types, proprietary and open source, rarely, if ever, allows students to take their content away with them. It remains locked up in a system controlled entirely by the instructor. Why is this so? It comes back to that basic metaphor. Courseware is in the business of providing the instructor a place to conduct their course, to distribute their materials on their terms. It's about content owned by the instructor. The students are merely the receivers of this information. Even where students are framed as content creators, they do so at the instructor's behest. Student-generated content is largely funneled up to the instructor through Dropboxes and graded forums. While Twitter and WordPress and Wikipedia are all about interaction and autonomy and the fantastic creation of collaborative knowledge, but courseware is locked into this strict structure. But it doesn't do it because courseware companies lack imagination or prefer rigid power relations. It's like this because we, as an academic culture, demand that it be that way. This structure lays bare our fundamental realities. Students produce content inside courseware for grades in a kind of barter system that lies at the heart of the academic economy. And so courseware is built the same way. We have a stream of content from the instructor that the students receive as a group, and a stream of content from the students, usually private, always instructor-controlled and led, that usually results in a mark in a gradebook. I don't know anyone involved in higher education who wants to look at our process in such bare terms. It takes all the beauty out of what we do. The revelations, the experiences, the slow layering of concept upon concept. It doesn't reveal the ways in which the students walk away from a course with more than a grade. It's a snapshot of academia at our most unattractive. Why does courseware reflect ourselves back to us like this? Early on, it was enough just to provide a place for those formerly paper documents. The reality is, instructors do have a lot of content that students just need to find. It's a basic requirement that all courseware needs to fulfill. We get more sophisticated in the ways we think about technology and teaching, but those basic requirements remain. It takes imagination, time, money, and a very thick skin to make fundamental changes to things all faculty use and rely on, especially if they're fulfilling those basic needs. For some, courseware needs to be highly interactive and flexible. For others, tons of interaction means tons of difficult or impossible grading. While many instructors want to make their course content as public as possible, privacy legislation prevents us from requiring students to make their work public as a course requirement. Many instructors do not want their course materials made public, either for intellectual property reasons or because the content itself has privacy issues built in. We are all so very different. To date, systems have not done well with multiple and conflicting desires and requirements. As a courseware administrator and faculty trainer myself, I'm pretty familiar with the way these systems work. I hear the criticisms and the praise. I see the problems they cause and the ones they make disappear. If I could take what I've learned over the years and rebuild a courseware product from the ground up to reflect the place that technology is starting to fill in education, to meet the wildest dreams of the most imaginative and experimental educators, here's what it would look like. Rather than a system with a set number of tools, this fantastical courseware of the future will be essentially infinite. It will accomplish this not by developing endless numbers of tools, but actually by scaling them back. The system will manage all the usernames and passwords and will provide students and instructors easy access to the course content for each of their courses, but that will be its primary role. The tools themselves will actually be tools that exist out there on the internet. In this fantasy future, courseware would take over all the annoying parts: creation of accounts, managing passwords, gathering all the tools together in one place. Instructors only need to select the tools they want to use. Each instructor can add whatever sites they want to the list and use them as a part of their online course presences. I can just imagine what it would be like. At first, the system would be empty and terribly dull. Then we'd start filling it up with tools instructors tend to ask us for: YouTube, Twitter, WordPress, and Blogger, Turnitin, Google Docs, PBWiki, MediaWiki, MSN Messenger, Adobe Connect, all kinds of fun tools. The list would be incredibly varied and rich, and the first hard task for each instructor would be selecting their tools. Each term, we'd find more great tools to include as part of our courseware package, inspired by faculty, students, and the innovation of the internet. There'd be so many different kinds of tools, it would probably be intimidating. So we develop profiles. Pick the kind of online course presence you want. Document heavy, lots of videos, highly interactive, highly reflective, heavy on writing, or reading, or lab work. Then we could build sets of tools around each kind of course, allowing everyone to get exposure to tools that will be the most useful to them. Courseware in this fantasy does more than just push documents. It also creates them. My future courseware would also be your video and podcast tool. Walk into a lecture hall, log in, press a button, and the video camera across the room activates, the microphone on the podium gears up, and you're ready to record your lecture. If you're sitting at home, it switches on your laptop webcam and microphone, ready to record an impromptu talk. At your discretion, it also labels your video and audio with metadata automatically, and it adds it to the library catalog, ready to be searched for and found as part of another student or faculty member's research project. For students, this fantasy courseware allows them access to all the content they've created over the years. They can see their first-year history paper, along with their grades and feedback. It shows them a recording of a presentation they did in third year, their reflection journal from second year, and all their final exam answers. A student can see the entirety of her work from her degree and is encouraged to build upon it. It opens up the possibility of reviewing not just the content for a particular course, but an entire stream of learning. Instructors who want their courses to be public can do so. They can even connect their course material with other instructors at other universities, running joint courses using a whole suite of online tools. This system is so flexible, it knows which students are okay with going public and which aren't. It can even take a simple discussion board and display only the content that is meant to be public, protecting those who prefer to stay private. For those who want to keep it simple, they can do so. Upload the syllabus, link to some readings. If that's all you want, that's all you get. No clutter, no confusion, no additional tools to trip over. But if you want to bring the world of interactive, collaborative tools into your course, you can do that too. Students will never even have to type in another web address. It will all be mashed up together inside this fantasy course web presence. That's my dream. All the tools you want, the second you want them. Lots of scope for experimenting, and always being able to use the hottest tools on the internet. Not because the students are so tech savvy, it's because the faculty are. I'd love to see all the great, thoughtful web use naturally filter into our institutional courseware environments. Move with the fads without having to spend thousands on web development. The great tools are out there. It would be fantastic if we could just plug them in. Courseware today is caught in the weird middle space between the digital pile of papers of the recent past and the vibrant zoo of possibilities of the present. As systems get more sophisticated and interoperable, we have more opportunities to mesh them together in interesting ways. In the future, I hope that no instructor will ever be stymied from doing something revolutionary with technology because of logins, passwords, and privacy issues. But I also hope that for someone who wants to shut off all that technology, gather students together around the seminar room, and talk over some fascinating, thorny problem, won't ever find anything getting in their way. That's it for this episode. What's your ideal courseware system? Post your thoughts at the bottom of this podcast's page at universityaffairs.ca. You can also leave me a comment or send me an idea for a future episode. Until next time, I'm Rochelle Mazar.